Back up top, shot through traffic, save made. Follow-up try, that one hits a body in front, and a score! It's a score! It's a score! And the Ice Bears have a 4-3 lead with 30 seconds remaining in the hockey game. Oh, what a hit! Welcome to the SPHL in Knoxville! Comes in on the right side, through the right circle, taking it and fed across, they score! Oh, yes! And the Ice Bears win 3-2 in overtime!
Welcome to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. I am Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you taking the time to check out the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast, whether you're doing so on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Thank you for checking out the KIB podcast. The President's Cup Finals are here. It will be Peoria against Huntsville as the Havoc overcame Roanoke in a three-game series, won game one at home, lost game two on the road, and then bounced back to win game three at the Berglund Center. Peoria, after a couple of tight stretches against Evansville, ultimately pulled away for a two-game sweep. Evansville leading 2-1 in the third period of game two before Peoria exploded down the stretch, came away with a 5-2 win. So the Rivermen are back in the President's Cup Finals where they will look for their second title in 3 years. Huntsville looking for their fourth President's Cup, their first since 2019 when they won back-to-back in 18 and 19. And it looks to be a really good series. Huntsville and Peoria met seven times during the regular season. Huntsville went 5-2 in those meetings. Two of those were in the shootout, and obviously a lot has changed for both teams since then. So should be a very competitive series. Everything gets going Thursday night in Huntsville at 7 o'clock local time, and then the series shifts back to Peoria for games 2 and 3, if needed, on Saturday and Sunday. And for the first time this postseason, the Havoc will get to play at the Von Braun Center at Props Arena. So they had to play at the Huntsville Ice Sports Center, where if you're an Ice Bears fan, you remember that's where the Ice Bears had to play their first-round playoff game at Huntsville last season in that first-round series, and that is what Huntsville had to do for both their first and their second-round games. So they finally get to play in their true home arena. I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be awesome. Peoria, I'm sure they're excited to be back in the finals once again and looking for title number two in the SPHL, which would also be their second in 3 years to go along with the title that they claimed back in 2022. And we are going to get a finals preview. You will hear from Jason Ruff, the voice of the Peoria Rivermen, and Austin Coletti of the Huntsville Havoc broadcast team before this podcast is over. So wanted to provide you a preview from each team's perspective for this year's President's Cup Finals. So I hope you enjoy the content, and I appreciate you listening throughout the course of the season. Couple of housekeeping notes before we get on to Jason Ruff. I want to wish a congratulations to Mitch Stewart, the voice of the Roanoke Railyard Dogs. He was named the inaugural winner of the SPHL Broadcaster of the Year Award last week. Mitch has done an excellent job for Roanoke, and Roanoke really has had a nice stretch when it comes to broadcasting. Brian Gardner, who spent some time in the ECHL with the Rapid City Rush, is now in the OHL with the Flint Firebirds. He was excellent for the Roanoke Railyard Dogs during his time here. And then after COVID, when Roanoke didn't play, Mitch came in back in 2021. He's just wrapped up his third season with the Railyard Dogs. It's a well-deserved honor. So it's been fun with our two teams playing each other about 1,000 times per season over the last 3 years. But obviously, when that happens, you get to know the opposing team's broadcaster pretty well. And so Mitch and I have obviously had a lot of fun with our off-air banter and our weird quirks and shenanigans that we always get into. But I know he's been a longtime listener of the podcast, a longtime troll of the podcast at times as well, which I actually really appreciate. But wanted to wish congratulations to Mitch again after he received the honor last week. And then going back over some awards that have taken place. Obviously, there's a lot to get into, so don't really have time to recap everything. But some of the notable ones: Hayden Stewart was named Goaltender of the Year, which comes with him being the first team All-SPHL selection. So Nick Latinovich finishes as the runner-up and a finalist for the award. Both goalies had fantastic years, and truly strong arguments could be made for either goaltender. It was going to feel like a slight for whichever goalie didn't win this award. And now for, in Latinovich's case, Since it is a regular season award, you know, Latinovich might be going into the finals with a bit more of a chip on his shoulder. And for Nick Latinovich, it's just a really interesting scene. And again, you know, I haven't talked to Nick personally, and so this isn't me with any sort of firsthand knowledge. But when you think about it, the setting is pretty interesting for him. He's going up against his former team in the President's Cup final. Remember, he played like 25 games for Huntsville last season. And, you know, he's just found out that he's finished as the runner-up for the SPHL's Goaltender of the Year Award. So maybe a little bit of, you know, something more to prove. I don't know what more he could possibly prove. He's got a 1.62 goals against average through four games in the postseason. He had a sub-2 goals against average during the regular season. So he's obviously had a great year. And it doesn't have much more to prove, but still has more to accomplish, as I'm sure he and his teammates would love to grab 2 out of 3 this weekend to come away with the President's Cup for the Rivermen. Simon Boyko from Fayetteville was named the Rookie of the Year. Obviously, I think Nikita Kozarev obviously had a lot of positive things happen for him this season, and it wouldn't have surprised me if he had gotten the award, but talking to some other voters around the league, seemed like that was a pretty common line of thinking. Boyko, just the impact that he made on the ice, and even though it was more limited time with him because of the amount of time that he spent in the ECHL this season, really made a huge impact for Fayetteville and helped them hold home ice advantage after they had that 10-game losing skid when he was able to come back from his time in the ECHL and help Fayetteville maintain their stance in the top four of the SPHL standings. And then Coach of the Year, Craig Simchuk, congratulations to him for Birmingham, his second consecutive Coach of the Year award after winning it last year. So I thought, and it was interesting because there were several coaches that received acknowledgement for the award, Dan Bremner, Dave Shinichny, to name a couple, and, you know, talk to some people who had voted for some of those coaches, and, you know, strong arguments can be made for all of them. And when you consider what some coaches had to deal with, certain situations that took place over the course of the year for certain teams, and Coach of the Year is always a little bit tricky because it's not necessarily, okay, well, the coach that leads his team to the regular season title is just going to win the award. That's not necessarily the case. Simchuk won it last year with his team being the 2 seed. So, you never know how all that's going to play out. But congratulations to Craig Simchuk, who has now won it in back-to-back seasons and has seen a really solid turnaround over the last 2 years after missing out on the playoffs the previous 2 seasons in Birmingham, finishing in 5th out of 5 teams in 2021, and then finishing in 9th out of 11 teams in 2022, and now back-to-back top 2 finishes, an appearance in the President's Cup Finals last year. Obviously, not the postseason that Birmingham wanted, considering how well they did during the regular season, but still a lot to be proud of and a lot to be impressed with when it comes to what Birmingham did this season. And then also some news coming out earlier this week, Dave Shinichny, no longer the head coach with the Quad City Storm. They released a statement earlier in the week, they thanking Dave Shinichny for his time. Shinichny, of course, an accomplished player during his time as a player in the SPHL, was Defenseman of the Year. Obviously a solid player, had a couple of really good teams, especially 2 of the last 3 years in Quad City. I know they missed the playoffs last year, but 2 years ago, they were the 5 seed. They had a lot of talent. They dealt with a ton of injuries and call-ups, and it was kind of more the same this season, but had a couple of all SPHL caliber players, got good goaltending down towards the stretch, and considering some of the pieces that they were losing throughout the course of the year, I thought he really did a good job down the stretch of keeping his team together. And just obviously with the injuries piling up, no Matt Ustaski, no Cole Golka, made it really difficult for Quad City. And they still were so close to knocking off Roanoke in the first round of the President's Cup in the playoffs after winning Game 1 in overtime, had a late lead in the third period in Game 2, just had it slip away from them. So, obviously it's going to be very different. And then obviously there's still kind of the prospect of what else could happen with the coaching carousel during the off season. What does Macon decide to do after, relieving Nick Niederd of his duties? Do they elect to hire Caleb Cameron full time? Do they elect to go in a different direction? It's going to be very interesting to see how all of that plays out. So we will have Jason Ruff on the other side, the voice of the Peoria Rivermen. He will preview Peoria in this matchup with the Rivermen and the Havoc starting Thursday night for the President's Cup Finals. That and more coming up on the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. Welcome back to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. Appreciate you checking out the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Obviously, with the series, the President's Cup Finals coming up this weekend, wanted to get some insight from Peoria's end on how this series could play out. And Peoria's obviously had a very successful pathway in getting to the finals. So pleased to be joined now by voice of the Peoria Rivermen, Jason Ruff, been the broadcaster for the last three seasons now, enjoyed the championship run back in 2022. So been in this seat before, so happy to have him on the podcast to talk about the series. Jason, appreciate the time. What has it been like just these last couple of weeks? Obviously a very deep field this season, but you have a very tight game to open up the postseason in Pensacola. You end up finishing off the Ice Flyers, and then you get a sweep over Evansville, a team that Peoria had obviously seen a lot of this season. So what have the first 2 weeks of the playoffs been like for Peoria, the Rivermen, the fans, the staff, the players, everybody?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster ride. A fun fact about that very first game, I feel like I was the only one who was actually calm during that overtime. Everyone else that I've talked to that was texting me, it was like they were all on pins and needles during that overtime in Pensacola. And remember, that game in Pensacola was delayed, pushed back, because we had a massive storm that rolled through the Florida Gulf Coast on Wednesday. So they decided to push the game back a day. And I think that actually might have helped Peoria, give them an extra day to kind of get another morning skate under their belts and get them going. But I don't know why. I just felt confident the way that third period went for Peoria and how that overtime was going. It's like, yeah, unless there's going to be a fluke chance, the Rivermen are probably going to win. And sure enough, Pensacola got a 4-on-3 advantage late. And I think I said on air, like, this is going to be their Pensacola's chance to win. If they don't win it here, then it's going to be very tough for them to do so. Riverman penalty kill, so good in the regular season and in the playoffs, comes up clutch. And the Rivermen go down the ice and score a few minutes later to take game one. Game two of that series was basically kind of a coronation. You know, three straight years the Rivermen have beaten Pensacola in the first round, second straight year in a sweep. It's great to see Evansville get into the second round. I know their broadcaster, I know you know him as well, Tommy Pecoraro, big for him to get out of the first round and big for the Evansville Thunderbolts to finally win a playoff series. Was really happy to see them there. And that first game, though it was a quote-unquote blowout in that sense, I don't think the score necessarily told the story of that game. That was a very close game for a good 2.5 periods. And what I mean by why it was close, I mean not necessarily what was going on the scoreboard, but more on the play of the ice. There were a couple opportunities there where if Evansville got a goal, they had about three or four power plays in a row. And it was all against two guys who were all called for slashing penalties. And it's funny, if the Rivermen surrender a power, and the Rivermen are only up 2-1 in at that point. Now, a little bit of history between Peoria and Evansville. You talked about how many times the Rivermen have played the Thunderbolts. In two of the last three meetings between the two in Evansville at the Ford Center, the Rivermen had a one-goal lead going into the second, and then Evansville took over in that second period and put the Rivermen behind going into the third. Now, Peoria did, in that game one, take a bit of a lead, but if Evansville pulls within one, it could be a completely different hockey game. But again, that Rivermen penalty kill, able to kill off those penalties, and then they go down the ice and score two quick ones to end the period, and the game was pretty much in a good spot from there on out. For game two of that semifinal round, that was, I would argue, that's been the second most exciting game just because of how that game turned out. Great start for the Peoria Rivermen in terms of getting the quick goal. Hageman shot from the point, deflected in by Alec Bear for his first of the postseason. Bear, by the way, has been turning into the puck distributor here for the Rivermen this year. Normally, a lot of people associate him with scoring pretty goals. He's been giving out pretty passes to help his guys get going offensively. But he got his first of the postseason. Evansville came back, tied the game up at one in the second after the Rivermen kind of lost momentum again. Evansville got power plays, and the Rivermen penalty kill did their job, held them off the board. You could tell the Rivermen just could not get a lot of momentum in that second game. Evansville go in 8 minutes into the third period. Evansville gets the first lead of the entire series. And then you're thinking, uh-oh, could this be where this game will turn? Could we be looking at potential game three here? Evansville had a power play. They took a penalty about 15 seconds into said power play that put the teams on 4-on-4, and then two goals for the Rivermen in less in about 45 seconds, 4-on-4, and then follow that up with a power play strike by Zach Wilkie, who unfortunately didn't repeat as a SPHL Defenseman of the Year, but led all defensemen in the regular season in power play goals. He was able to get the dagger, and that was all that was said about that. Peoria going to their fifth final in the last 8 years, and it's going to be against a team that they lost to in the finals in 2018 in the Huntsville Havoc at Carver Arena. So either way, it's ironic. Either way, this series is going to end at Carver Arena. The question is, who's going to be hoisting the cup at the end of it? That is the question.
Talking to play-by-play voice of the Peoria Riverman, Jason Ruff. Huntsville went 5-2 against Peoria this year. A pair of those Huntsville wins were in a shootout, but these teams haven't seen each other since mid-January. So in what areas have the Rivermen improved the most on the ice in the last 3 months?
I can tell you right now, it's health-wise. During those series, the Rivermen had a lot of health issues. They didn't have some of their key defensemen, guys like Zach Wilkie, guys like Renat Dadazhanov. And that was also during a time when that was before Peoria really got buzzing, before you got guys like Alec Hagman, like Jordan Ernst, like Alec Bear, before you got those type of players buzzing back offensively. That was also before Nick Litinovich really locked in to be firm hold of the starting job and be the playoff caliber goaltender that we've seen out of him in this postseason. So in those aspects, I'd say the Peoria Riverman are much better than when they were back in, I think it was like mid-late January, when these two teams got together for a number of times, including five straight, and tempers got a little hot there, let's put it that way. But here's the thing with Huntsville. As you know, Knoxville fans have seen them plenty of times this year. They're a very well-coached team. They're a very well-disciplined team. And I think it's a good playoff matchup because it's almost, from a Peoria Riverman standpoint, it's almost like looking in a mirror in terms of seeing a team that executes similarly, that plays with similar poise, plays with similar speed, and has solid, solid goaltending as well. So I know everyone here is really looking forward to that challenge. I know everyone down the locker room is looking forward to this challenge. And, you know, me personally, I would have loved to see Roanoke because I loved making that trip over to Roanoke. Love seeing our mutual friend, Mitch Stewart. But no, it's going to be Huntsville again, and it's going to be – it's ironic. During the 2022 season, I was told by a bunch of people in Huntsville and around the league that, oh, yeah, this might be a preview of the finals, Peoria and Huntsville. That didn't end up happening. It ended up being Peoria-Roanoke. But now, a few years later, now here it is, the final that everyone two or three years ago was talking about potentially happening, Peoria and Huntsville once again.
How's Peoria preparing to start the series on the road in Huntsville? I know you started the first two series on the road, but the Havoc have led the league in attendance this year. Props Arena has obviously been very, very raucous. It's been a great environment. They've had great attendance numbers. How are the Rivermen preparing to go into that environment to start a championship series?
You know, I think playing the first couple of games on the road in each of the first two rounds is going to help the Rivermen in that sense. Peoria has had some, they were just about a 500 team on the road during the regular season, but you come into a mindset, I think that's the biggest thing is the mindset and making sure you take each period one period at a time. I would say Props Arena is the second hardest building to win a playoff game in, second only to the Berglund Center in Roanoke. I mean, like you said, they led the league in attendance. This is going to be, I think, their first playoff game this season in Props Arena because they had to play at a municipal rink earlier. So everyone in that building is going to be fired up. It's going to be a raucous atmosphere. It's going to be a great atmosphere. But this is also a Riverman team, I think, that thrives on good atmospheres, whether home or away. You had some good atmospheres on the road in Quad City, and the Rivermen played extremely well in Quad City, and those are against fans that hate your guts, pretty much. But to answer your question, Joel, I think what the Rivermen are doing, they're focusing on two key things. I think they're focusing on taking things one period at a time, talking with Riverman head coach John Kuchdell. That's where his mindset is at, and the team likely mimics his mindset. But also, I think the Rivermen are focused on trying to play fast. This isn't Evansville. This isn't Pensacola, not taking anything away from those two teams. They're very, very good teams. But Huntsville, it plays extremely fast. And if you're not ready to match and exceed that speed, you're going to get burned. So for the Rivermen to win this series, they're going to have to play fast, especially on the road to open things up, because as we all know, winning game one in a final series is incredibly, incredibly important. I don't have the exact numbers, but I think the winning percentage is in the 80s or 90s percentile for teams in this league that win the first game of the final series.
You mentioned a few moments ago about Nick Latinovich around mid-January was the time that he really started to click and really asserting himself as one of the top goalies in the league this season. What do you think ultimately changed for him? He obviously had a great year, but what do you think was the difference in the second half of his season?
I think he got comfortable with two things. First and foremost, I think Eric Levine, former Riverman standout, who still holds the SBHL record for career shutouts in this league, he transitioned to be our assistant coach this year. He's been working with the goaltenders, and I think a lot of Latinovich's success this year, I think a lot of that has been helped by having a former goaltender on the staff and a former great goaltender like Levine helping him out. So I think that was key, just time with Eric Levine, just time working with it. I think also Latinovich got comfortable when the River made a couple of moves in January, in early February, and Latinovich was kind of basically told, look, you're going to be the guy. We believe on you. This is your starting job. I think that helped. But I think most importantly, I think he got used to the fact that Peoria Riverman don't give up a ton of shots. They've led the league in shots on goal against, both in the regular season and here in the postseason. The Riverman don't give up a ton of quality chances. And when you're a goaltender who is so used to stopping a lot of shots, which last year Latinovich did, both with Macon and with Huntsville, he was forced to take on a lot of shots sometimes. And when you transition from having to go, okay, I'm going to see a lot of shots, so like it's easy to get into a rhythm, to, okay, you're not going to be seeing a ton of shots, but you still have to make the key save. It may be a critical save you have to make. That can take some time for some goaltenders, and I think Latinovich really bared down. And when he really started getting good is when he started not being flashy, making the saves he needs to make, which is exactly what Jean Guigedeau wants for his goaltenders. He always tells his goaltenders, focus on making the first save. That's your responsibility. Everything else, that's up to our D to clear out. Second, third chance opportunities, That's the D's prerogative to clear out. Your job is just making the first save. Focus on that. Focus on your positioning. And Latinovich has gotten comfortable in the Riverman system, and right now you're seeing the results. He's thriving. He's operating on a 1.62 goals against average, .930 save percentage, which is really good numbers. Those are numbers you want to see in playoffs from your goaltender. Finish top of the league in goals against average. Rightfully so, earned a second team all SBHL honors for the goaltender position. And I mean, we all know it as well. You can't go deep in the playoffs without good goaltending. Thankfully, the Rivermen have gotten great goaltending from Nick Latinovich.
Jason Ruff, voice of the Rivermen on the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast with me now. Jason, last thing, and we'll get you out of here. As you watch Huntsville on tape, you've mentioned their tempo and their speed. What else stands out about them that would provide a lot of excitement for this series?
They're very structured. They're incredibly coached. I know, talking with Jean-Guy Trudel, he thinks they're one of the best coached teams in the SPHL. I mean, that group is so structured, and what always stands out to me is how they forecheck. So if you're, say if you're Peoria Riverman, for example, if you're recoiling in your zone, you're getting the puck, you're getting ready to break out, you will have two, sometimes even three Huntsville Havoc in your zone pressuring, trying to force you into a mistake. But if you try to take the time to kind of wiggle out of that and start your breakout through forward, Huntsville always has the discipline to get two men back. So when you're trying to move the puck through the neutral zone, you're facing a front of three or either four guys on their side, the defensive side of the red line. So it's both aggressive and it's defensive at the same time. And you don't see a lot of deviation from that in terms of guys either making mistakes or players not being in the right position. I mean, Stuart Stefan has done a fantastic job of getting his team, which is a good mixture of young talent as well as a couple of veteran holdovers. They're a good, solidly coached team. But so are the Peoria Rivermen. So I think this is going to be a match with two of the arguably the most well-coached teams in the SPHL. Good, solid, close hockey. If you're a fan of the chess match style of hockey, it's very strategic, very very deliberate, and incredibly tense. I think you're going to be excited for this series. I don't think there's going to be any blowout. I think it's going to be, every game is going to be close, right down to the wire, and could be involving some overtime too, who knows. But it's going to be an incredible series, and I can't wait.
He's Jason Ruff, the voice of the Peoria Rivermen. He will have the call for the President's Cup Finals Championship Series starting this Thursday in Huntsville, Alabama on Thursday night. You can hear him call all the action on Flow Hockey, courtesy of Flow Sports. Jason, really appreciate the time. Great stuff. Enjoy the call and enjoy the series coming up this weekend.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate you, my friend. Shout out to all the folks and all your listeners over in Knoxville.
Really appreciate Jason Ruff, voice of the Peoria Rivermen, for taking some time to preview the President's Cup Finals from Peoria's point of view on the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. And that stat that he threw out, by the way, about the significance of winning game one in an SPHL playoff series, how high the percentage is, he is right. It is up there. 76% of the time in a best of three game series in the SPHL, and I don't have the overall numbers for the best of three, best of five, best of seven series combined, but in a best of three game series, whether it's the first round, the semifinals, the championship series, teams that win game one go on to win that series 76% of the time. So three out of every four series, the team that wins game one goes on to claim that series. So game one, going to be very, very important. Huntsville, it's going to be their one chance to play in this series at home. Peoria has a chance to go on the road and have an opportunity to take a 1-0 lead back to Carver Arena. Now, in the finals, the stat is much more staggering. No team has ever won the President's Cup Finals after losing game one. Teams that win game one are 18-0 in President's Cup Finals in the history of the SPHL. 9-0 in best of three, 8-0 in best of five, 1-0 in best of seven. So Peoria and Huntsville, a lot to play for over the course of a four-day span. Thursday, Saturday, Sunday are the dates for these three games, but game one, a lot is on the line on Thursday night in Huntsville. So the team that loses will have to try to become the first team in SPHL history to win the President's Cup after losing game one of the President's Cup final series. So pretty staggering stat, but a lot can happen in a three-game series with two teams that are playing very well right now. We will have more on the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast, so stay tuned. A lot more to come as we preview the President's Cup Finals on the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. Welcome back to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. Appreciate you listening as we continue with our President's Cup Finals preview. I'm Joel Silverberg. Very pleased to be joined now by Austin Coletti. Austin is a member of the Huntsville Havoc broadcast team who has been a part of the organization for the last couple of years now. And Austin, really appreciate the time. This has to be very exciting. What is the vibe like down in North Alabama right now? First-year head coach, new core of really talented young players, and already in a championship series. What is the excitement level like in Huntsville right now?
I would say for any championship series, there's just going to be that natural level of excitement, right? You realize that with the way that this series is constructed, you're two wins away from winning the President's Cup. So there's always a lot of excitement and anticipation that comes with that. And I don't know that I maybe speak for any in the organization or the fan base, but I know for me personally, there's a little bit of surprise with it. You know, you and I talked about it back in November. I'll be honest, I don't know that I really expected Huntsville to even get this far in the playoffs. And you may ask, well, why is that? Well, obviously everyone knows about the big three that retired, right? Cy Nukovich, Tyler Piacentini, who's the assistant coach, and Rob Darrah. But maybe a couple that really went under the radar is obviously Max Milosic, who came back for the playoff run from the ECHL. Then you lost your third-line center, a veteran who had won a President's Cup in Casey Kolchesky, and then also Jacob Barber, who for the last 2 years had been a great point-producing, goal-scoring forward. You know, those are six very, very key guys in that rotation that Huntsville lost from a season ago. And so, like you say, a lot of new faces, a new core. For me personally, again, very, very excited. I think there was a little bit of surprise that this team was able to make it all the way to the President's Cup final.
Well, now this team is playing with so much confidence. I'll tell you, the players don't seem surprised that they're here. There seems to be a lot of optimism about this series with Peoria. What have you kind of seen as far as the development? Because you said back in November, maybe a little surprised to get here. How did this team get this far?
Well, certainly there's the pieces in place, right? And it always starts with leadership from the top. You know, Keith and Becky Jeffries have always run a championship-tier organization, right? You know, even if they didn't win the championship, you know, you're routinely making the playoffs. You know, there's not a lot of teams or not a lot of times when this team was sitting home in early April. But obviously now the general manager, Glenn DiTullio, who was the former head coach, right, has been there, done that, led this franchise to two of their three President's Cups. Then you work your way down to the head coach, a guy in Stuart Steffen, and his assistant coach, Tyler Piacentini, who both were a part of Glenn DiTullio's two President's Cup runs. And so you've got the championship experience there. Then you get down to the players, and without question, you have to start with Dominic Procopio, who was named the 10th captain in franchise history. That was a guy that, you know, his first 2 years in the league had been to two consecutive semifinals. Got there against Roanoke 2 years ago, and then last year as well against Birmingham. So Dominic Procopio, though he's in his third year, you know, and is in his mid-20s, he still had that high-level game experience. And then there's also those the alternate captains, right? Robbie Fisher, Kyle Clark, and then the old grizzled vet, as I'd like to call him this year, Derek Pearl, who's in his sixth year in the league. So those four guys right there, they have been the last two seasons prior to this year all the way to the semifinals. And then you have that leadership that I really think trickles down to the rest of the group. Now, as far as seeing the way that this team developed into getting this far, really, to me, maybe the first sign of it was, you know, going back to November when your Knoxville Ice Bears came to Huntsville, was when Brian Wilson had about eight consecutive starts from around the Thanksgiving time frame to about the second or third weekend in December. He had seven or eight straight starts, and you were like, okay, well, this guy might look like a number one goaltender. But really, to me, when the really big sign to me was in January when guys really started to click. And it goes back to the addition of Buster Larson, who gets cut from Fayetteville. Buster Larson, since he got to Huntsville, has been a point-per-game guy. And then in January, you started to see guys left and right hitting point streaks, you know, double-digit games, and their point-and-a-half-per-game ones. You know, the best line, and I even was talking to Steve Moulton about this, who's called the playoff runs for Huntsville. The biggest key for Huntsville in any of the playoff series was going to be the line of Phil Elgstam, Dylan Stewart, and Buster Larson. That was the line from January to right now, that just the way that their numbers were on the stat sheet, you see the way that they played together, you're right. You're looking at them, and it's like, okay, now Huntsville has a top line that they can go to. And then the other forward pairing that you saw really catch fire in that same time frame was when David Thompson and Jack Yannick were paired together. You know, David Thompson had a great streak in the January to February time frame. Jack Yannick has been a guy, you know, really since the calendar year came on. And, man, Yannick is just one of those speedsters out there for Huntsville that, you know, he's a rookie like a lot of these forwards are and has provided a great spark. And maybe a little, maybe a big road bump that really dampened some hopes when you had that injury to Dominic Procopio. I know for me personally, it looked like, oh boy, this could really spell trouble. And then you bring in Brett Humberstone and Jeremy Gervais, two guys that have really fit in. And so now I think that Stuart Steffen has got that defensive, all three of those defensive pairings settled. Now it looks like there's a chemistry there. The offensive lines have some great chemistry. And really, Joel, the last thing for me, it's a couple of things. Number one, when Mike Robinson had a couple of shutouts at home, and then if you look in the playoff series, that top line of Phil, Stu, and Buzz is still performing well. But, man, that second line with Kyle Clark and Robbie Fisher and Eric Henderson, that's a line that has really played well in this entire playoff run. And that's thrown me for a loop because they weren't guys that in the season you looked and you were saying, you know what? That's going to be a line that's really going to produce for us. So I think the top line of forwards has had some really good help, like I said, from that second line. You've got some guys that, for the most part, have not been in a championship series, but they've been in big moment games. There's enough experience and leadership that I really think has propelled the organization this far from the top down.
Talking to Austin Coletti, a member of the Huntsville Havoc broadcast team here on the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast as we preview the Huntsville Havoc and Peoria Rivermen in the President's Cup final this weekend. On tape, as you've watched Peoria throughout the season, because Huntsville, while they had a good record against Peoria during the regular season, they haven't met each other since mid-January. In what way has Peoria maybe improved the most? What sort of challenges do they present offensively, defensively to this Huntsville team from what you've seen over the last 3 months since the last time these two teams saw each other?
I think you have to start with Alec Hageman, right? Just a veteran who's played double-digit years in this league. As far as I'm concerned, one of probably a top five all-time great in this league. You've got a guy that has been there and done that with Peoria. I talked with Jason Ruff back in January, and I love what he said because it does seem accurate. Alec Bear is back to MVP form, right? Won MVP 2 years ago with that 80-point season. Just the biggest thing to me is that they're so deep in terms of their forwards, right? Piotrowski, Jordan Ernst, Mike Gillotte, Zach Wilkie, I think unquestionably, at least by the numbers, is the best defenseman in this league. They've just got so many guys that, you know, say that you put them on another team, Joel, I'm not so sure that they wouldn't be on that top line for any given team. It's just how deep Peoria is. Here's the thing, too. Their head coach, Jean-Guy Trudel, a guy that has played in the AHL, in the Coast, has played a few times in the NHL, right? A guy that has been at the higher levels of hockey. Just his knowledge, man. Like, there's just a lot with Peoria that comes with them. They're always a team that's so talented. It seems like they're always, you know, top two or three in the standings. And I'll throw this out there too. You know, I referenced that, you know, Keith and Becky Jeffries run a really good championship level organization. I think Peoria is that way too. They just have an eye for hockey talent, and they know how to bring the guys in. The one thing that is very interesting to me, and it was the addition of Myers Moore. You know, you may remember the blockbuster trade that sent Joseph Widmar to Pensacola. That was one, I know for me, raised a lot of eyebrows. And I think it may have around the league as well. Why would you get rid of a guy that top five in the league in points at the time, and for a bulk of the year was actually number one in the assist column until, you know, basically the last maybe, what, 3-4 weeks of the season? Just a guy that was playing at that level. So why would you get rid of a guy like that? But when Jason Ruff tells me that, you know, you've got enough offense, that your head coach, Jean-Guy Trudel, is looking to get some defense, and then you throw in that you really like Myers Moore, a guy from the ECHL that's a good puck-moving defenseman, then you start to see it was not about having the best guys. It was about completing the puzzle and having the best pieces that fit together. I just think that Peoria, it has such an eye for hockey talent. Certainly their numbers show it on the stat sheet. But then when you watch them play, it's a team that's got some speed. They're aggressive. They're physical. You know, they pass the eye test, but when especially you see them get on the ice, that's when you see, okay, this is a championship-level team. They put so much pressure on you. And they can, you know, they can light you up on the scoreboard, or, you know, they can get physical, if you will. You know, it's kind of like a Vegas team that can play either way. Like the Vegas Golden Knights, they can put up that 7 or 8 goal tally, or they can make it 2, 3, or 4, and they can scrap with you. It's a physical team. They're just a complete team, and I don't care if it's against Huntsville, against Roanoke, Birmingham, anybody else. Peoria is always going to be a challenge, no matter who they go up against.
So with that challenge, what is it going to take for Huntsville to win this series this weekend?
Well, when it comes to playoff hockey, what does everyone say the difference maker is? Goaltending. You're going to need Mike Robinson to play at an elite level. And that's not to say that Mike Robinson has, you know, his numbers in the postseason through 5 games a 2.28 goals allowed average, and a .922 save percentage. And really, that save percentage probably could be up in the .940s range, because think about the one game that Roanoke beat Huntsville in this series. Mike Robinson gave up 4 goals and 12 shots. Throw that game out the window, and Mike Robinson has been superb. But you're going to need Mike Robinson to be at a high level. And it's a guy last year that made a run with the Adirondack Thunder in the ECHL. So he is not, he's no stranger to that higher level of hockey experience. Number two, it's that top line, like I referenced. Bus Larson, Stewart, or Dylan Stewart, and Phil Elkstam. You're going to need those guys to really carry you. They've got to be that point per game line out there. Number three for me is special teams. Number one, you cannot get to where a Peoria is getting 3, 4, 5 power plays against you a game. You've got to find a way to play clean hockey, because we know that Peoria is a team that can force you into some penalties. And again, they're so high-powered offensively, you cannot afford to put them in 5-on-4. And number two, when it comes to the special teams, you've got to put away your power play chances as well, right? A team that if they give you those opportunities, you have to take them. Peoria is so dangerous to me, just even 5-on-5. You've got to find a way. When they give you little advantages in a game, you've got to find a way to take them. You know, and then lastly, obviously, your defense is going to need to help out Mike Robinson, right? Mike Robinson cannot do it on his own. He's going to need his defense to really keep some pucks clear of him. You know, you got to protect the house, be willing to sacrifice your body and block some shots. It's got to be an all-around team performance. And again, I think it does start with Robo playing at a high level like he has. He's got to be able to maintain that in this series. You've got to have that top line of Buzz, Stu, and Dr. Phil really produce for you like they have, I would say, since the calendar year started. And you're going to need that defense to keep Robo's jersey pretty clean out there. And at the end of the day, it's 60 minutes of hockey, and you're two wins away from a President's Cup championship. So you got to have the will to win as well. Everybody's got their bumps and bruises, and you've got to be able to power through it. But the way that Huntsville is playing right now, I see no reason why they couldn't pull off an upset and win their fourth President's Cup in franchise history.
He's Austin Coletti with the Huntsville Havoc broadcast team. The series starts Thursday night at 7:00 Central Time in Huntsville. And then if needed, games 2 and 3 are back in Peoria on Saturday night and late Sunday afternoon. And you can catch all the action on Flow Hockey, courtesy of Flow Sports. Austin, thank you so much for the time. Great stuff. Really appreciate it. Enjoy this weekend, and we'll see how everything plays out over the next few days.
I appreciate the time. Thank you for thinking of me to do this with you, and I look forward to seeing you again next season.
So there you have it. You've got a preview from Jason Ruff from Peoria, from Austin Coletti from Huntsville, and the stage is set for Thursday night for everything to get underway. Huntsville hosts Peoria Thursday night, 7:00 Central Time. Game 2 is set for 7:15 in Peoria, and then Game 3, if needed, will be in Illinois at 5:15 Central Time for a winner-take-all Game 3. Will we get that far? We'll find out over the course of the next couple of days. But everybody, enjoy the series. Thank you to everybody who has listened throughout the course of the season. It has been a blast covering the SPHL and following along with all the action throughout the postseason. So enjoy the President's Cup Finals, and thank you again for listening to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast.